Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. You know, I think we've entered a new era. This passage of the TPP that happened yesterday, day before yesterday, is, I have no words for it. I mean, we should be mourning as a country that our sovereignty is gone. Well, as soon as it gets signed into law, it'll be the beginning of the end of our sovereignty. And now it makes a lot of sense to me. You know, this ICD-10 has been bandied about for the past 3 or 4 years. It's been on the horizon. It's been pushed back. It's been dangled out as a carrot, and it's never come to pass. They're saying without certainty now, concrete, that we're switching over to ICD-10 in October. No wonder. I mean, this is like a big automated kabuki theater surfaced agenda that's bigger than all of us. There is no way that any Republican, I don't care if they're business, pro-business or not, should vote for a piece of legislation that not only haven't you read, but the ability to go and read it is like going into Fort Knox. You read one page at a time. You leave your cell phone at the door. It's in some deep, dark recess of Congress, of the Capitol. You know, basically, you have to give your first child to go and see a piece of it, and then you can't speak about it after you come out. That alone should raise red flags to any congressional critter up there, you would think. But it's not about them anymore. It's not about us anymore. We are just a window dressing, some sort of ritual that they go through every 2 and 4 years to get back in. That's when we matter, but not in between. I called my congressman. I called my senator. I did what I was supposed to do to make my voice heard. They could care less. The woman I was speaking to on the phone was trying to explain to me the difference between TPP, TIPP. I don't care what you think the difference is. The whole point of it is it screws the United States of America. It is the last piece that puts us down in third world country land, honestly. And the immigrant, now you understand, now I get it. The immigration laws that are non-existent, having all these visas come through for people who are, you know, HB1 visas and all other stuff. We signed on to all sorts of treaties and agreements from not just this administration, from before. And they've been putting this all into place. It's like a small, like, what's that analogy, boiling a frog slowly? It's all been going on underneath us while they use all this social identity politics crap to make you completely forget what your interests are, not only as an American, but as a human being. This is just, it's beyond stupid now. So you've let the pop culture supersede. I don't care what Jay-Z thinks. I could care less what John Legend or whoever, the puppet of the month from, you know, from Hollywood or entertainment land, trying to tell me what to think. I'm done with that. I've been done with it for a very long time, but I just don't understand why they trot these people out to make policy statements and moral pronouncements when God knows what goes on in their lives. Really, they should be the last people to tell any of us to do anything. Just, you know, I can't begin to tell you how disgusted I am about this whole situation. I mean, Sessions was the only person up there who actually told us what was in it, what was going to happen. This is the beginning of a North American, it's not even a North American union, it's like a East-West union. Now I think there's another section that's supposed to add in South America to this coming down the pipe. I see on headlines you're going to come after the Second Amendment next. Why did we vote the Republicans in exactly? I'm still dubious. I wonder what they got, don't you?
Yeah, I was out with a neighbor last night sitting by his pool, and we were talking about the same thing. It's like there's no difference. It doesn't seem like the Republicans have done a thing. By the way,
they helped it. They greased the wheels.
Yeah.
They did something. They helped this whole agenda get through.
We did a show last week, Doctor's Lounge, with the regular host, and then Dr. Jeff Terry from Mobile, Alabama. He's a urologist. And I'm going to run one of his 30-second spots in between. All he's asking for is people to realize what ICD-10 is going to do to them. Not just, I mean, it's the doctors are going to, it's so ludicrous. It's beyond a point in ICD-10 of if your patient runs into a telephone pole, here's what you circle the first time. If the same patient runs into a telephone pole the second time, I mean, stuff like that, that's just... It's beyond my imagination that anybody could come up with this garbage.
It's about control, though, Dave. So once you put this very specific medical information into the cloud, then it's not just, oh, you have sinusitis. It's bigger than that. They get to make a profile of you, of the doctor, and of the patient. This is not a joke, all right? These people have been thinking about this and putting this into place for a very long time. We've gone from being able to sit across the table and talk to each other, to people texting each other at the same table, to not having our lives run in a public manner, to putting every selfie, every whim and thought that you have that crosses your mind, you think you're so important that you have to Twitter it or Facebook it or whatever the new iteration of it is, that they're mining that. They are literally creating a database, and they think of it as Amazon. When they tell you they know what you're going to order before you order it, that's what the government has been doing for the past X number of years, and they're good at it. I just read this thing yesterday that Google Chrome, has some sort of backdoor widget, whatever you want to call it, that once you log in onto your computer, they can actually log into your computer and listen to everything you say without you giving them permission to do it. And their thing is, oh, you have to opt into it. Yeah, right, like you opt into Medicare, right? We have to sign and send a letter a specific time between a few months every 2 years so we can opt out of Medicare. It's an automatic opt-in for doctors. I'm sure it's the same thing with these people. They just got caught red-handed. Now they're trying to backpedal. But there is nothing, please remember, people, there is nothing that you do on the internet that's private. I don't care how many locks, passwords, you know, encryption, they know. And they're making it, it's all going through their sieve.
It's now, what, up to 40 million that the Chinese hacking into the...
So they say. Whatever, yeah, okay.
But, you know, if the government's so damn good at doing anything, why can't they keep China out of the... You know, they can't keep anybody out.
Or is it just using them as an excuse for them getting caught doing something else? I mean, I don't trust anything that they say at this point, except the fact that if you want something to be private, you shouldn't put it on the internet. You shouldn't put it in an email. You sure as heck shouldn't Facebook it.
Sorry, it's sort of like those old movies where I'd write you a note, and after you read it, you burn it?
Yeah. You know, it's like, what, Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Facebook, there's now face recognition on Facebook. So even if you turned sideways or, you know, you got part of your profile, they can still identify you by facial recognition. When you come into the country in Atlanta, for example, you take a picture. You know, they have this all automated. So you come in with your passport, you go to a kiosk, you put your passport on the reader, and then they take a picture of you. Then they make a little slip that you go to the customs officer. A picture? Why? What is that, you know? Where's that going? You can just imagine where that's going. You know, I mean, so there is no privacy. You are not you're not invisible anymore. You are an entity that they're tracking. And they're trying to figure, and every time you sign a petition, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you need to understand what you're doing. Now, my take on it is, no one's going to silence me. If I'm doing something that I believe is morally appropriate and correct, I'm not going to be silenced. That's what they want you to live in fear. They want you to cower, to think twice about being you because something may come after you. But that's how they win. If you shut up, if good people say nothing, if you allow this to continue to move down a very rapid path that it's moving, we're all going to be slaves at some point. This is not everything's better when everything's controlled. Everything is worse, because when you don't fit the, you know, you're the square peg in the round hole, you get removed in one way or another. You get silenced. You don't get the job. If you're in a medical situation, you don't get your care. This is bigger than everybody's thinking. While everybody's talking about trans, paying for sex changes and all the stuff that's going on in pop culture, really doesn't matter. Whether you can eat, whether you're going to have a job, whether you're going to have a home, whether you're going to have a bank account in the next year or so, that's what matters. Who cares about Bruce Jenner and his sex? I could care less. Why don't you talk about the fact that he killed somebody in a car accident? That's like it never happened, isn't it? Kind of interesting. And we're just going along like sheep. Forget about the bad stuff. Just what they want you to think is what you should think. It's mind control.
Do you think Charleston screwed up people's head from the standpoint that it didn't blow up into a riot? I can't think. The church was, and the people, it couldn't have been, it was a terrible thing, obviously.
Yeah.
But the reaction of the church and the people that were there, could it have been better? And that,
no,
that has to have Al Sharpton pulling his hair
up. The narrative, Dave. It screwed it up. And thank God they were able to get on TV first. I rarely do it. I don't know why I did it that day. I turned on MSNBC on that Melissa Perry show. I can't stand that show. But I wanted to see what they were going to, how demonized they were going to make white people, and you shouldn't even want to be white because it's awful kind of. I thought they were going to do that. And I turned on and they had the live church sermon, which was fantastic. As a Christian, finally, we're getting some, this is what Christianity stands for. It's not non-inclusive. It's not hate speech. That's what it's been driven to everybody's mind. You don't even think about it anymore. If someone says they're Christian, they automatically get painted as anti-anything, which is not true. What they couldn't stand the most was people saying, "I forgive the killer." And it was the people who lived there. And they couldn't stand white and black people joining together. It had the opposite effect, finally. And I think it's been going on for a very long time, but it was never given press coverage. They thought they were going to see something else, and they got hoodwinked, and they couldn't turn it off. It was awesome. And with that place was to the rafters of black and white people together, joining together.
And heaven forbid, that's in the deep South.
I know. Oh, my God. With a Confederate flag, on their capital. This was against their narrative. And you know how sick this was? After it was all over, and they cut to the news person on the outside, the first thing he says is not about the sermon. Oh, there's a lot of white people outside the church, as if they weren't allowed to be in the church. It was like, did you watch the same sermon that I did? They got exposed for all their neurolinguistic crap, is what they've been doing to everybody for the past 6 years. It was obvious, if you were paying attention, that you're trying to be manipulated. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, one thing that this whole thing is bringing up, and we talked about in the break, is that it's not simple. There is no distillation of our society that makes it all good, all bad. There's a lot of gray area. I see slavery as a different thing. There's nothing good about it. But as a people, black people in this country have gone through hell, and we've come out the other side. We weren't eradicated. We were, I think morally, to not take revenge on someone who's done something to you, it's a big statement. And I'm not about to cry about it. I think it's a powerful and strong people that can do that. And I'm not going to live my life as a victim. My ancestors didn't put me in a position to do that. My mother and father didn't do that. It was, now you have an opportunity. You need to seize it and take advantage of it. If you don't, that's your fault. At some point, personal responsibility has to take over. I don't believe racism is DNA driven. I don't accept that. Everybody's an individual. There's a lot of prejudice amongst everybody. That's what human beings are. You find someone that you jibe with, that you like for whatever reason. Doesn't mean I have to be the same race, the same sex, anything. There's if you can look past the packaging, we're all the same. We all want the same things. You know, great, there's evil people. There's good people in this world. Your job is to find who you want to interact with.
You know, at this point, as I see it, Charleston and South Carolina can go forward and move forward and build on what has happened.
Looks
positively.
Like they started doing that.
Ferguson, where everything was destroyed, you know, they've got to go back years to get to where they were and come back, you know. And
you have to look at this in toto. It wasn't the Ferguson, the people who lived there that did this. These are agitators who were bussed in, who they had a camera-ready moment. This is what makes this so special. They weren't able to control the narrative. They didn't bust the people in. They didn't show you one sliver of the block where all the stuff was going on. They didn't talk about how the fact that Al Sharpton got booed out of Ferguson. He was trying to agitate, and they booed him. They told him, and I think it was North Carolina, don't even bother to come here. They don't put that on TV. They only want you to think that if you're black, then somehow you're some sort of anarchist. You want to tear down your own city. You barely have a job. You know, you can't speak. That's what they want. That's the meme of an average black person in this country. What was so powerful to me was the people that spoke, the people whose family members were killed, were eloquent. They were forgiving. They bucked every single thing that's been said about black people in narrative for I can't say how long.
Did you happen to see watch any of the court scene?
No.
That was just more of it. I mean, it was incredible. I'm not an attorney, and I don't know the effect. And some people have said the judge could have been wrong by having family members in and could have prejudiced stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was very striking for this has happened to my family. You caused it. And some people, I'm sure, will take it wrong on what the judge said, too. It affected the shooter's family. He not only screwed over a lot of other people and their families, he also screwed over his own family. This is they'll be harmed by this the rest of their lives. And I just, the whole thing, I've just been very impressed.
It was an important move for the country, because had it been, what the shooter said is what the prevailing powers that be wanted to happen, a race war. This was supposed to be the powder keg. It's a southern city in a state that supposedly loves Confederacy, whatever that means to whomever. And this is going to be the match that worked. It didn't work in Ferguson. It didn't really work in Baltimore. I mean, it didn't work. It's been tried over and over again. It's the same, you know, recipe. And this one was supposed to work because this is South Carolina. Well, it didn't work. It makes people think, people have this perception of the South that it's a bunch of backwoods, no talking, black people hating, backwards kind of thing. And it's not. I've lived in New York. I interact with more of everybody down here than I did when I lived in New York. There's more. It's a mosaic in New York. You go to your neighborhood, you go to your home, and you're not dealing with anybody outside of your race generally. I lived on the Upper East Side. There'll be times you never see a black person on the Upper East Side. That's New York. I love New York. You know, Brooklyn, I love it. But it's not the same as being in the South. And there has been a change. It's not the same. I can't stand the fact that people keep saying that it's all, there's no improvement, it's all the same. It's because they want you to think you're a victim 24/7. I just don't understand how that happens when you have administration that's, a diverse administration with a black president that was voted in twice by white people. Black people didn't do it. White people did. So first, they're so racist. How the heck did he get in twice? You know, that's just, it boggles my mind. And people just ignore the fact that people on TV are making six-figure salaries telling you how bad black people have it and how you can never get ahead while they're preaching you're a victim while they're benefiting. Doesn't anybody just say, you don't get to tell me anything. Look at where you're sitting. Why? How do you know where I'm coming from? Why do you speak for me? That's what people need to start waking up to say, white and black. I don't understand how more white people are not incensed that just because you're white, you're just racist by DNA. But that doesn't even make sense. And it's offensive. Yet these liberal pundits, talking heads, are just, they're going all for broke. Now, every white person should be ashamed of what happened in South Carolina. One person did it, not a race.
And the going after the guns and all that.
Oh, that was the plan, Dave.
The kid is obviously a fruitcake, nuts, and nothing good about him.
Nope.
But just like you said, that's one person. It could have been a black person doing it. It could have been a green person doing it. It could have been a Martian doing it. It was one person, one thing, one animal, in my opinion.
But they're going to try to extrapolate that to everything.
Yeah. And you know, my wife and I were talking about it the gun didn't do it. If he was so driven by Satan to do it, he could have used a bomb. He could have used knives. He could have, you know. I wouldn't say that God planned it, but God could have intervened, in my opinion. God could have intervened. But this, I think there's a message here that's been very strong, and that's that Christianity can prevail. And those folks there, what a great job of doing it.
Yeah, they're living proof of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another flip side, again, that never gets spoken about. They talk about Gabrielle Giffords and gun control, but they neglect to mention the fact that there was a concealed carry guy there in the crowd that saved people, including her.
Yeah.
I mean, he never gets talked about. I'd rather be in a situation where there's someone concealed carry in my presence so they can save my back end. This guy reloaded 3 times in the church. 3 times. Now, I think in Georgia, you can actually conceal carry in the church down here, can you not? Wasn't there a law that was passed? Now, I'm not saying you should shoot up the church, but honestly, if someone had been able to subdue him with equal force, there wouldn't have been that many people hurt. And they keep talking about it's the people who are citizens that are causing they're not the people who... Criminals will get guns. All you're doing is making everybody a gun-free victim. And they're making a very good point here. Every time we have these gun shootings, it's in gun-free zones. Schools... in this instance, church, you know, it's...
They want an easy target.
Of course. I'm not saying that students should pack, but the bottom line is you are creating pockets of opportunity for someone who wants to do something to somebody to do it. And then you glorify the heck out of them. They've got theme songs. Everybody's, you know, down to their when they were children. They become folk, you know, figures at the end of these things. And you have psychos. And another thing that's a common denominator, they're all on psychotropic meds. Every single one of them. How many drugs? Some of them on 3 and 4. Why don't we start talking about why the medications are always on board with these people? Does it make them more likely? And there are studies now that if you take one of these, you're more likely to commit violent act. And we're talking narcotics. We're talking sedative hypnotics like Valium and Ambien. We're talking Xanax. We're talking definitely the antidepressant medicines, you know, Zoloft and all other stuff. You're either suicidal or homicidal or both. How many people are under the influence, you know, mentally of these drugs? And that makes them suggestible. That makes them lose all control and do these things. It's not the fact that they have the gun. It's the fact that they have the will to do it. And other thing that they don't want to hype is that this person who had the gun got it legally, went through all the legal channels of getting it. So all their gun laws won't stop someone who wants to do it from doing it. Unless their goal is to literally take every single gun from every single American, which I think is probably the thing they actually want to do, which, good luck, but that's what they really want to do. I mean, they did it in England. I mean, this is how bad it is in the UK. You can't, if someone comes into your home to do you harm, literally kill you, and you have a gun and you shoot them, you're in trouble. I mean, they're in your home. I can understand if they're not on your property, but they've already breached your personal space. They're in your house, not your car, not on the street. You can't defend yourself in your own home? That's insane. You can't have a stun gun in Antigua. I mean, you can have anything that can potentially protect yourself. You're just a sitting duck. That doesn't make any sense.
And it won't work.
Well, it doesn't work. And all the blanket statements about how there's no violent crimes in all these European countries have strict gun laws. They have them all. What happened in France? What happened in England? What happened in Netherlands?
What happens every day in Chicago?
That's a gun-free zone, isn't it? The whole city, basically. It's a bunch of sheep ready to get victimized by wolves. It's personal response. I don't have a problem with background checks. I don't have a problem with seeing if someone's on a psychotropic med and if they've ever been incarcerated or put into a hospital for psychiatric reasons. I don't have a problem with that. But make it real. Make it realistic that you should be able to protect yourself and your family if you're a citizen. They're just assuming everybody's guilty. But what's the bigger picture? If you can't defend yourself, you depend on the government to do it, then you're at their mercy too. And we need to take a different approach to this. Let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I'm thinking about the long ball. You know, it's like playing chess instead of checkers on this thing. If all these multinational, trans, you know, global corporations want to run us through the TPP, what happens when you have nobody to buy your product? What does that put you? If you want to, you want to make everybody destitute and beholden and a perpetual slave, economically, spiritually, and morally, what do you get out of it? The whole point is to have a consumer to the nines, right? I mean, the pharmaceutical companies want someone on a drug every day for the rest of their life, multiple if they could get it. Well, what happens when they can't afford it? I mean, there was a story on 60 Minutes over the weekend where they were talking about cancer drugs and how they're so expensive. We're talking thousands of dollars a month for a cancer drug. Well, how can you even afford to do it? So the doctors who are finally, the oncologists in the hospital, got together, wrote a letter and said, this is ridiculous. I forget the drug. I think it may have been something like Avastin, the next generation of that kind of drug. And it was so crazy. It was like $10,000, $15,000 a month. Nobody could afford it. So they wrote this letter, and the drug company goes, okay, and they dropped it by half. That just tells you that it's an arbitrary number. And they had the unmitigated gall to write a letter saying that this drug is really, you know, for the people who need it. I'm paraphrasing. They're desperate. We have something that they need, and therefore we get to set the value. How freaking immoral is that? And the government saying absolutely nothing. And under this TPP, the ability for Medicare, for example, to be able to purchase drugs and to price them is going to be gone. Our country no longer gets to set any kind of boundary on what's good for our people. It's what's good for the corporation. And they can insert language into their, that will eventually become our law, which could be fast-tracked. You either up or down, yes or no. You don't get to amend anything. And if it's against their interest, they will craft law legislation to stop whatever it is. So you can imagine all the things that could come down the pipe with this medically. Genetically modified foods and labeling, forget that. They might even try to take out organics because it's harmful to their bottom line. Vaccination, anybody? How much do you bet that you're not going to have an onslaught of legislation like they try to pull in California that mandates vaccinations? I'm sure it's coming. Education, does that bring them, you know, does that ring a bell? This is the dumbing down of the entire globe. Kids can't read, they can't do math, they can't think spatially. You know, when you read a book, you can visualize, they can't even do that. We're talking about one in two people having children having autism by 2050, or maybe it's 20 in our country. We're going to be a bunch of zombies who just, you know, sit in front of a TV eating oatmeal or whatever we're doing while they just basically suck the humanity and life out of us. As long as it's corporate driven and you can purchase it in whatever fashion that may be, because I'm not even sure money is going to be around at some point, or at least the US dollar. I mean, everybody's projecting things that used to be sci-fi that don't seem so sci-fi to me anymore. Dollar? Are we going to have it? Are we going to have anything on the gold standard? You've got countries hoarding gold all of a sudden. You've got Texas now trying to repatriate their gold. Like they're going to become their own city state. They see it on the horizon. They're protecting themselves. Almost want to move to Texas at this point because they have their own grid.
Come on down to the farm.
Sounds good. They got their own grid. They've got their own water source, energy source. They could potentially be the only thing left standing in our country if everything goes south. We have to make some serious choices, I think, and not sit around watching, you know, ETV. That's not helping us. The whole conversation now about this Confederate flag is, it's subterfuge. Who cares? If a flag is flying, does that really affect you in a day-to-day? Does that put food on your table? Does that educate your child? Does that give you a future for retirement?
Did you hear this morning it's gone berserk that Target, Sears, all the stores and Amazon have taken in anything that the Confederate flag or anything that says has off their shelves and you know, this...
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's all theater. I just watched a show. It's kind of a little bit non sequitur, but not really. Let's say Qatar is having a soccer tournament. FIFA's going there. Their whole society is crafted on slaves, where they bring people from Nepal, India, to be their workers. They don't pay them. They take their passports. They're slave labor to the owner. They own them for the time they're under that contract. And McDonald's and Visa and a lot of American companies are underwriting this. They don't care what's happening to the people in that country. They don't care the message it sends. It's all about them. This is the kind of just humanless kind of corporate entity that's going to take over. It's not about the individual. It's not about empathy. It's not about, hey, this country is building their riches based on the misery of somebody else. Dubai does it too. There's been stories about that. They're getting rewarded because they bribed the heck out of FIFA officials to get this game. Yet there's American companies that are feeding, they're sponsoring this. If one of them said, fix it or I'm pulling out, maybe they could stop it, but they could care less. So if you think that General Foods and God, you name all the big corporations are going to want to produce a product that's good for you down the road, especially with this, it's not going to happen. The only thing that's making them change their minds now is money, because people stop buying their stuff because it's out now that genetically modified is toxic, that the artificial ingredients are suspect. It's killing people. And now people are voting with their pocketbooks. You can vote with your pocketbook when you have a choice. You cannot vote with your pocketbook when they get rid of the competition. This is putting your finger, hell, your whole foot on the scale of corporate-driven whatever, and they don't want competition. From a medical perspective, we see it every day. There's only one freestanding radiology center in Atlanta at this point, because every single huge hospital has bought out the competition. They're doing it to doctors. Good luck opening your own practice coming out of medical school, coming out of residency. It's prohibitively expensive. Good luck getting onto insurance contract. And I can speak to that because we have been trying to contact two for the past 6 months. We don't even get a call back. You can only contact them by email now. They don't even give you a number to call them. That's how they've become. So you've got doctors leaving the profession. You've got them selling their practice to hospitals and losing autonomy. That's the trend of healthcare in this country. And as soon as every single private doctor is gone into the system, the prices will go up further, your choice will go down, and your individual treatment options will disappear. This is driven from a central point. Now I'm hearing, this is really tragic, that, and I knew this was going to happen, the big insurance companies are starting to try to Pac-Man each other. They've gotten rid of the little ones. They're all gone. They've been eaten in. Now, Blue Cross Blue Shield tried to buy Cigna, which would be a tragedy for anybody in ENT, because Blue Cross is just the worst to work with. I'm gonna be honest. They don't pay. They make up experimental loopholes and hurdles for you to jump. They're obnoxious on a big scale. So if they bought Cigna, which is reasonable at this point, oh my God. United Healthcare was trying to buy Cigna too, or Humana. It's just, there's like three left, and they're all jockeying to see who's going to eat whom. If once you have one left, and I predicted this, once you have one big insurance company left, you basically have single payer. You already have it kind of de facto, but you will have single payer because then the government will work through that entity to administer the government part of Medicaid, Medicare, especially Medicare, but I'm sure Medicaid will roll into it next. And then you've got single payer driven by one monolithic insurance company whose only job will be is to make as much money as possible. And when there's no competition, hey, the game is on at that point. Who are you going to go to? Who can you say that I disagree, I want to take this to up the chain to have it reviewed? Who do you go to? Well, under Obamacare, that would be the healthcare czar, which is driven by the HHS. They're not going to help you. Good luck for that, right? So this is moving everything towards a faceless corporate entity who's working hand in glove with the political infrastructure. How much money, I wonder, we talked about it. The number one, the number two, the number 10, 1 through 10 lobbyists, money that passes hands up in the White and the Capitol is, was it the Realtors of America, Big Pharma, Blue Cross? Most of it was insurance companies. There wasn't even an oil company up there actually anymore, really. That's what's moving the society. And then you add in ICD-10, which is coming. It's on. They'll get you for not coding right. They won't pay you because you missed the 10th digit. It was wrong. Or if you're taking Medicare, they're coming for you for fraud because you missed the code. You can't make a mistake in this system. You are considered to be guilty until proven innocent. And by the time they prove you're innocent, you're out of business because they've closed your practice, put you in jail, fined you to in such a way you have to sell all your assets in order to pay the fine. It's completely mercenary. And the patients are going to be out there looking in. If you're sick, if you have anything that's really remotely expensive, cancer, anybody, they're not going to cover you. Or they'll say, you know, for that 4 extra months you'll get from taking this medicine, it's not worth it. Have a hospice trip instead. It's what they're doing anyway. Or be like the Netherlands, where they do euthanasia and don't tell people. There's a whole stories that are coming out about the socialized medical infrastructure in Europe. And it should be on, you know, Twilight Zone, honestly. They want to now give children under the age of 12 the ability to consent to euthanasia. How the hell does a 12-year-old or an 8-year-old consent to euthanasia? That's what they're doing over there. And then they've been caught just doing euthanasia without getting consent in Sweden, Netherlands, UK. That Liverpool pathway looks really good compared to what's going on in the Netherlands. I mean, this is what the future's, I mean, and now there's something called the Watson computer. And I don't know if we have to take a break, but we need to talk about that because that's the brain that not only runs the Jeopardy show, you know, they put that against a Jeopardy player and it beat them, but they're going to use that, and they are using that to make medical decisions. And there's an article that says something about how Watson would be the doctor of the future, and they used an example of, I believe it was oncology. There's not going to be enough doctors to provide medical services, so they're going to go through this thing to make medical decisions for you. And they're not going to care. It's going to be based on percentages and numbers. And if you fall on the wrong side of that, that you're not worthy, it'll make a decision for you. And you take the doctors out of it. You take the human touch out of it. It's going to be just on. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like a stream of consciousness on our show sometimes, because it just, as you're talking about things, they just start to crystallize and you just realize it's a bigger thread and you just keep pulling and you can see that this is not, it's long and it's very involved. And my takeaway from it is we don't have to be involved with this. We can step away from the table. You can make conscious choices not to be part of this system. They depend. It depends. It's a will now. It's a driven, blind will that wants to destroy everything in its path and take everybody's power, everybody's humanity with it. But if you step away from the table for a second, stop, turn off the TV, turn off the internet, go commune with nature maybe, if you have the ability to do that, and get centered again, and figure out really what's important. What's on TV and what's the next new car and the next new iteration of the iPhone is not what's important. It's a means for them to control you. Now, you can use it as a tool. We're on the radio right now. We're using internet. We're using all sorts of things as a tool. But we have a perception or really a reality check of this is a means to an end. This doesn't define me. It doesn't give me value. It gives me a platform in order to express my thoughts and opinions for those who want to listen to them. If everybody had more of a less of a me attitude and I'm special, it just blinds you to everything because it's all about you, all about your stimulation, all about what you can get people to do to make you feel better. It doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside. And when people figure that out, then all of these things, these carrots, if you do this, you'll get this benefit. If you play my game, I'll give you this carrot or this reward. It's Pavlov on steroids. There's no reward that you're getting that's really, it's ephemeral. It's not going to last. If someone's giving you something that you don't really earn, that you don't create yourself, honestly, then it doesn't really have value. The only thing that you really have is your intellect. You have your health. You have your ability to give to others. Those are things that you control. You need to start paying attention to that because anything that dumbs that down, kills it, squelches it in any way, it's hurting you. And I don't care how much money you accumulate, how many things you have in your garage or your home, it still won't make you happy. I mean, it comes down to that, I think. I don't know about you, Dave.
I'm sitting here loving every word you're saying because it's true. All the things in the world, that's not. And, I sit back and I used to have a close friend that, I say a close friend, a person I knew well that had to be surrounded by people all the time. I said, he and I were different because I, in turn, enjoy my space. And if you can't be happy with yourself, then you can't be happy with anybody else.
Agreed.
And there are a lot of people that are unhappy with themselves.
Well, I agree with that. And taking a medication to dampen it, the loneliness, the dislike for whatever it is about yourself you don't like, or getting plastic surgery to fix it doesn't fix it, right? And, I'm also convinced that it's not necessarily all us. I think it's what we eat. I think it's what we've been, all the things that are coming at us from, our digital environment, whether it's EMF from your phone, the waves that come through the TV. Remember, the TV is now all on a standard. Well, there's some sort of hypnotic version or something that's happening with the flicker rate on the TV that also sedates you. So all these things are done to us that kind of turn on this, I guess it's maybe denial. It's all sorts of things to try to combat it, but in the essence, you're hurting yourself in trying to get through it.
And it's all, I got to add one other thing, and this goes back many, many years ago, but it's the family and the unit of the family. And, as crazy as it sounds, from the time a child is born and the father and the mother or whoever tucks them in and says, I love you, that's the development of the adult and knowing that somebody loves them.
Well, it gives you your, before you can earn your own little sense of worth, it gives you that. An unconditional little pod that you grow out of. I agree with that. But you don't get that now. You have parents, single family parent households. You have young parents who are all about enjoying themselves and older parents who are just living, they're living dual lives. Just put an iPad in front of your kid while you do whatever. You know, you go out to the club or you go on vacation and leave them with, you know, to their own devices, latchkey kids. And look, if you're a single parent, you got to work. I understand your child has to come home, etc. But do you have to go out to the club, for example, on the weekends? Can you not do things with your child? Can you not? I remember as a kid, every afternoon, I would sit with my mom on the couch and she would read to me. This is something, this is a memory that I'll always have. Every afternoon, every morning on the way to school, during my time stay with my dad. These are things that are, they wanted to give me a sense of a foundation, and it's based on love. You know, you knew you didn't want to disappoint them because, hey, they're putting energy into you. I don't see that really happening. There's so many things distracting everybody that everybody's on their own. It's like watching people in a table at a restaurant all texting instead of interacting with each other. That's where they've won. They've made us so selfish, so internal, and we're crying out to actually be a community. And it doesn't take a village to raise your kid. It takes you to raise your child.
Amen.
I think that's another thing I've learned. It's that the government cannot be the parent. The school cannot be the parent. And any parent who cedes that authority should be ashamed of themselves. I'll give you an example. You go into the airport. I don't see it so much anymore, but when TSA was really at their height and they were, you know, patting down children, they were crying, and the parent trying to take an infant from the mother for the breast milk issue, and she not arguing that point, or a dad letting his child be patted down, a girl by a male TSA agent, and standing there. Are you kidding? That would never happen.
I got to ask you something. You travel all the time.
Uh-huh.
I know. My wife left yesterday, flew out to California. And I talked to her. She went through, and she didn't know special anything. There was nothing. You went through the gate. I mean, there was no anything. No taking off your shoes. No, there. She said, if you know the gray containers that you're supposed to put your stuff in.
Yeah.
They were
gone.
Didn't
have that?
No.
Wow.
Nothing.
This is in Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Wow. Okay.
You know, she walked through. So what?
It's what manufactured, man. If they tell you that 90% of the weapon, you know, they did this test, 90% of contraband got through the TSA checkpoints, yeah. It's a joke. It's all to indoctrinate you to be docile. And if a parent won't stick up for their kid, they got them. I would never say that. I mean, never. We're not going. Or you're taking me. I'm getting off the plane. I won't subject my child. I'm supposed to be the protector of my child. Think about this psychologically. You have a parent who won't stick up for their child. The child, what do they learn? I can't trust my parent. That's a psychological disconnect right there. If nothing else, I knew my mom and dad would go to the mat for me. And my mom did when I was in grade school. She had a kid up against the wall. Don't you ever touch my baby. I remember that to this day because she had my back. Now, if your mom and your dad doesn't do that for you, well, that leaves you vulnerable to something else coming in and being the master of your little universe. That's what they want. That's what school's about now. Basically, it's an indoctrination camp. They feed you crappy food. You're in there for hours on end. You've got teachers saying things like, oh, I'm not going to teach Shakespeare because the kids in this community, it's like racist or something. Are you stupid? These are universals, good versus evil. It's the way it's, you know, you have to think about Shakespeare in a bigger picture. It's universal truths, love, hate, all those things that people actually need to learn to be part of a community. She's trying to distill it down to racism. What does she want them to read? Some sort of comic book? And that's racist because black people are too stupid to read Shakespeare, or it doesn't fit their, you know, the diversity because he's an old English white man, so he can't possibly speak to an inner city child. I mean, this is just racist. When are people going to wake up to the fact that the people who supposedly love you, who are liberals and think everybody's equal, but white people are the worst because it's all because of them that it happened, it does everybody a disservice. Done with them.
You know, I got to mention one thing. You said something that you used to go in every afternoon and sit on the couch with your mother and read, mm-hmm. or she read to you. Ben Carson, who I think is incredible, he said, I got to where I am because I'd come in and I'd read. I'd find, you know, how important is it? So what do they want to do in our government? Take away our ability to read, take our books away.
Take our books.
Does that sound like something from Nazism?
It sounds exactly like it. We are repeating the past wrapped in a diversity cloth, and it's not true. On that note, I think we need to stop. Thank you for listening. Follow me on Facebook, Medicine on Call, Twitter. And, you know, if you have any ideas for any shows, feel free to call in and let us know. I will see you in a couple of weeks, actually. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.